Welcome back to Prayer School. We are in the middle of a sermon series that we're calling Prayer School. We're looking at prayer and what it is and how you do it and how it's supposed to work and what you're supposed to hear and what you're supposed to say, all of those kinds of things. We're looking at different scripture passages on prayer. This week, we're going to be looking at a passage from the Apostle Paul, from his letter to the Thessalonians, the fifth chapter. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 28, which is the end of the fifth chapter of Thessalonians. I'd invite you to read along with me in your pew Bibles in front of you, and let's listen carefully for God's word to us this morning. Paul says, "We appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord, and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace amongst yourselves, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and all and to all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss, and I solemnly command you by the Lord that this letter be read to all your brothers and sisters. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the ways that we pray when we come here to church is we have to pray for the one who preaches, for his sins are many. So let us pray. Holy and merciful God, here among us today, stir up your spirit and may something of what is said and done from this pulpit, or at least, oh God, something of what is seen and heard of me from this pulpit, may it not be of me. May it not be of us in this room. May it be of you. May it be of you and your work and your promises for us, the things that you have done for us and the things that we ought to find ourselves ready. All been there, right? Okay, or how about this one? So you're at a party, right? Or maybe you're at church and the pastor says, for the first time in 2.5 years after a pandemic, we're going to stand up and pass the peace of Christ with each other. And so then everybody turns to each other to shake hands, except the person you turn to shake hands with has their fist like this. They're trying to fist bump. And so now you've done that thing where you've put your hand over their fist like you're playing paper, rock, scissors. Only at the same time, they've opened their fist, and now you're trying to close your fist at the same time, and your hands are just kind of doing like this, and then finally you're just like, peace of Christ be with you, right? That, like that, right? Or maybe you're going in for a hug, but this person doesn't want a hug, they just want to shake hands, and then and you got to do that thing. Or maybe you are going in to shake hands, but the person's trying to hug you, and then you're like, I'm not sure. Greetings can be hard, right? We've all been there. They can get complicated. The other funny thing that happens with greetings is, like, we all want to be really genuine and sincere, and we want to kind of like personalize our greeting in some way, but we don't want to make them too personal. So someone asks you, "How's it going?" You could just say, "Good." But then that's the end of the odd conversation, and now you're both sitting there and you're staring at your feet, not sure what you're supposed to say next. You're not giving anything else to converse about. So if you're going to say that's good, you got to say something about what's good. But also, what if it's not good? If it's not good and there are terrible things going on, then maybe the person says, "How's it going?" genuinely wants to know if it's good or not. But maybe if they don't want to know if it's good, now you're talking about how bad things are, and they're like, "Man, I wasn't in for all of this." When asked, "How's it going?" And so you got to judge a few things. You got to judge, is the person like actually interested in how's it going when they ask you how's it going, or are they just trying to greet you and make small talk one way or another? And you got to kind of find that sweet spot. And so what people end up doing is they come up with like their little saying that they say anytime somebody says, how's it going? Like, I have this friend, I'm always like, how's it going? And he goes, living the dream. Like, is that good or bad? Like, maybe it's living the dream and that means it's good, or maybe it's living the dream and she's being sarcastic and you just don't know. Greetings are hard. Greetings are complicated. And yet they're important. A greeting is an important thing for us to try to get right, because if somebody doesn't greet you, ignores your presence, or doesn't greet you the right way, that doesn't feel good, does it? It hurts. You might say it's disrespectful or rude, but that's just a way of saying what's deeper, which is that it feels like a violation of your dignity, like an insult to your existence and your personhood, that they're not even paying attention to you, like they're pretending like you're not even there, or that they don't care that you're there. They've got no interest in actually sharing the world with you. On the other hand, when someone greets you, and they greet you well, it can make your day. It can be a blessing, it can be a surprise, it can be a gift, a real gift that you have needed and you didn't even know you need, because taking the time to speak to you and to acknowledge your presence, acknowledge your humanity, they've given you the one gift that we've all got to give, the one balm that we have in this world to heal the wounds that we feel to our sense of dignity and to our personhood, those wounds that we're all fighting and all nursing. And that's the gift of empathy, the gift of being seen, the gift of being noticed, the gift of having your existence and personhood acknowledged and honored. Greetings are complicated. They're deeply valuable, but they can also go wrong. They can get confusing. I got to thinking about all this because a few weeks back I was reading this book called In the Shelter, and in the book it talks about this small nomadic group of people from Papua New Guinea. And this little tribe of people have figured out a way to keep greetings as simple as possible. To keep all the complications out. In their language and in their customs, there's no room for frills when it comes to salutations. There's no space for any kind of confusion. What's appropriate to say? What's not appropriate to say? What might be offensive? What's not? There's no space for inauthenticity or over-personalization. In this little community in Papua New Guinea, this little tribe, there's no word for hello in their language. Instead, when you greet someone, you say, you are here. I mean, that's it. You just say, you are here. And then the other person says, yes, I am. And you are here. And then you say, yes, I am. And you go on with your day. That's it. So imagine you're at Carly C's, right? You see this person down the aisle. The person maybe who's sitting maybe two rows in front of you in the pews right now, you see that person down the aisle at Carly C's, and you say to them, you are here. And they say, yes, I am. You are here. You say, yes, I am. And you go back to grabbing your beans or whatever, right? Or you're like late to the Little League baseball game and your relative shows up and you say, you are here. And they say, yes, I am. And you are here. Yeah, I am. I'm kind of fascinated by this greeting. It's like this amazing way of simplifying greeting and keeping all the complications out. I mean, look, it doesn't really work for us in modern American society. Like, we're so used to small talk and cheeriness and complicated greetings and all those kinds of things that keeping it simple would actually probably be taken the wrong way, right? It would come off as strange at best. It would come off as rude at worst. But there's a real beauty in the simplicity of it, right? It's the, because what it does is it cuts to the chase of what a greeting is and what a greeting is supposed to do. It acknowledges the presence, the existence of another person with whom you share the world, for whom the world is just as much theirs as it is yours. You are here. You are here in the world. You are here. Yes, I am. You are here. Yes, I am. Rejoice always. The Apostle Paul tells us this morning in his letter to Thessalonians, here in his exit of the letter, he says, give thanks in all circumstances, in every circumstance, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. And then he says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, he says. The Christian life is a life where you pray without ceasing. You pray non-stop. You pray without ever stopping. You pray all the time. You pray continuously. In every circumstance, in everything you do, you should pray. Everywhere you go, Paul says, you should pray. You should pray all the time. You should pray without ceasing. That sounds like a lot. Prayer for me is a lot easier, right? When I can just go up into my room in the morning and wake up and I can sit down and bow at my knees and fold my hands and say a prayer. It's a lot easier that way, not a thing that I have to do all the time. How could you ever pray all the time? Well, part of the reason I think the act of prayer can be such a mystery to us, something that we have to have prayer school about to really understand, a mystery to this modern world, I think it's probably because we have a tendency to overcomplicate it, make it harder than it needs to be. I mean, I see this all the time, right? Somebody comes up to me right before a meeting and say, please don't ask me to open this meeting in prayer. I don't know what they ever say. You ask me to pray before a meeting. It feels complicated. It feels burdensome. Or perhaps we think of prayer as a strange kind of exchange where we set aside these certain times for us to close our eyes and to bow our heads and to fold our hands and to quietly, internally pay our respects to God, or maybe even dare to ask God a question or two that we've been worrying about, or ask God a thing or two that we have been needing, in the hopes that what we're going to do is provoke some kind of response from God, that we're going to gain some kind of faith from God. And then when we pray this way, we often find ourselves then sitting there right where we were praying, waiting for some kind of response, hoping to hear kind of response. And what do we hear? We hear silence. But if that's what we think prayer is, I want to suggest that maybe we haven't understood the God that we're praying to, which is the God in Jesus Christ. You see, the God that we pray to when we pray as Christians is a God who doesn't need to be provoked for a response. The God that we pray to as Christians is a God who has already responded, has already answered, a God who has already acted, a God who has already loved, a God who's already fulfilled the promise, a God whose goodness and whose mercy has been proven. Even in the deepest, darkest forms of brokenness and suffering and betrayal and sin. And so when we pray to a God who became fully present with us in the flesh, dwelled among us in the flesh. And yet this is also a God whom we human beings did everything we could to remove him from our presence. We hung him on a cross and humiliated him and mocked him until he was dead. And not even this could remove us from the presence of the grace of God. Because this is God's world and not ours. And the only reason we get to share it is because in God's grace, it's been shared with us. So if this is who God is to the Christian, then prayer is not trying to invoke a divine power like an incantation or a spell. If this is who God is to the Christian, then for the Christian, what a prayer is a greeting. A greeting to God who is in your presence. What a prayer is an acknowledgement of a God who is already here. You are here. We pray. You are here. You are here. See, it doesn't have to be all that complicated. Rejoice always, Paul says. Rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances and pray without ceasing. What if the most basic way to live a life of prayer is to simply greet God everywhere you go in everything you do? Because God is there. So you sit down for dinner with your family to bless a meal, no matter the words you use. God is great. God is good. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. They all mean the same thing. They're all acknowledging the same presence. You are here. We are saying to God. And you're in the car early in the morning. You're running late to school and you haven't had enough coffee and the kids are in the back street screaming and fighting and screaming and fighting. You are here. You pray to God. And you find yourself professionally dressed on the way to walking in to a meeting that could change the trajectory of your entire career. You are here. You could pray. Or you find yourself on the verge of walking into a hospital room to see the person that you love tangled in tubes and wires and beeping monitors. You are here. You should pray. You sit there at a funeral of a beloved friend, a loved one you haven't seen in many, many years, and you wish you could have just said hello, and you have all these different regrets that run through your head. You are here. You pray. You are a graduate, and you're starting to walk across the stage to receive that degree that you have earned. You should pray as you take those steps across the stage. You are here. You are here. And then the moment you take that degree from the dean's hand, you walk back off the stage into the next chapter of your life in this big, bright world, exciting and unknown as it can be, you pray again and you keep praying. You are here. You are here. You are here. Because you see, a greeting is the most basic form of communication. Because what it does is acknowledge that there's someone else for you to be communicating with. And a greeting can be a gift. It is the one balm that we have to heal the wounds to our dignity and our personhood that each and every one of us are suffering and nursing in our own ways. It's when we take notice of those with whom we share the world that we can be healed. But we've got even better news than that as Christians. Because it doesn't matter whether you're frustrated or relaxed, or whether you're celebrating or mourning, or whether you're productive or stuck, or whether you're being kind or you are being as cruel as any human being has ever been, or whether you're lost or whether you're found, God is always present with us all the time. And this is the one balm that can heal every wound to our dignity that we suffer. The only question then is, are we ready to acknowledge God who's already here? To greet God, you are here. So friends, this is your homework assignment this week for prayer school. The homework assignment is to take Paul's lesson. Go forth out into this world. Walk off that stage after you graduate. That world out there belongs to God, and God is there, just as God is here. And so that's reason for you to rejoice always, to give thanks in every circumstance, and to pray without stopping. Greet God in everything you do. Everywhere you go, pray like this. You are here. You are here. you are here. It doesn't have to be complicated. And in fact, I must say that if you pray this way, you will find what I find, which is the answer. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen.